Welcome back. We are here back at Oh My Darlin' for another episode, episode 7. I'm calling this season 2 since we're in 2021. Season 2, episode 7, where today we're going to be talking about a couple of different items on the agenda. We go over my words for the year. We talk about my mood board for 2021. And then we're going to review Disney's upcoming, most recently published movie, Soul, which is streaming on Disney Plus, as well as ending this episode with a segment of Georgia on My Mind. So stay tuned. So last week we talked a little bit about how New Year's resolutions are stupid, and what I like to do instead of resolutions are create vision boards or mood boards, as well as like come up with words that'll be your like affirmation or words that you want to kind of keep yourself in check with throughout the year. So for this year, I decided again, I can't just do one word. I did 3, and I made them dream, dedicate, and deliver. And for myself, I think it's really important to come up with ideas and to create and to dream in my life, whether that be dreaming for my future jobs, what I want my dreams jobs to be, whether it means dreaming in terms of like who I want my potential future partner to be. Anyway, that's the first word. Second word, dedicate. I mean, I really think this is so important for any of my pursuits, any of my professional or personal goals. And then deliver. You know, it's important to dream. It's important to dedicate your life to those dreams. But then if you don't deliver on them, what's the purpose? What's the point? And for me, these three words, not only are they more of a triad or a medley of what I want to see happen in my life, but they're also more of a 3-step plan. Like I kind of just said a second ago, you create your dreams, you dedicate your life to those dreams, and then you deliver on them. It's really important, especially for my job and my professional career, that I come up with these dreams that I'd like to see in my life, to dedicate myself to those dreams, and then actually deliver on them. And most recently in 2020, it was tough working for a private resort. Working in a hospitality industry was very difficult during COVID. And although I'm very grateful for having my job and being able to keep my job throughout all of 2020, it was hard. It was tough. And sometimes, I mean, for myself at least, I might not have been able to deliver on my promises to guests. And I'm not going to go into specifics, but it's just important that for myself, if I'm going to sit here and dedicate myself to my job, I give 110% every single day, I got to make sure that I am dedicated to my craft, always trying to improve, as well as always delivering, or at least consistently delivering. I mean, you can't make promises and keep them 100,000% of the time, but it's important to make sure when you make a promise or you say you're going to go the extra mile to actually deliver on that. The next part of my 2021 process was creating a vision board, and it's already on my Instagram. I've posted it today, and I wanted y'all, if you haven't seen it, again, it's at ohmy.darlin'. That's on my handle on Instagram, and also on Facebook. I'm just Darlin Davis on my Facebook. But anyway, so in terms of my vision board, I'm just going to go through a couple of things that I put on there and the reasoning why. The first and main portion of my vision board are a lot of images and pictures and pictures of just the Golden Isles, Jekyll Island, St. Simons, Brunswick, and Little St. Simons. I even have a couple maps of the areas that are just pleasing, aesthetically pleasing. I have a couple sunrises, sunsets of the marsh. One's a painted picture, the other is more of a image. And then I also have just beautiful mossy, Spanish moss covered live oaks, as well as I think it's a spoonbill, like a rosette spoonbill bird. I've been a really big beach bird person lately. Ever since I moved here, I love the little sandpipers and pelicans. So I thought it'd be fitting to put this beautiful rosette spoonbill on my vision board. Those things those pictures, number one, I got them all out of my magazines. And since I moved down here, I've been collecting magazines from local places. So they're all tailored towards the Golden Isles. But I thought it also would be fitting because for me, I still want to adventure. I still want to get out there and meet people and do things in this area. I feel like every single day I'm here, I feel more at home, number one. But number two, I don't feel like, I mean, it's just underappreciated. I don't feel like I'm truly taking advantage of this area and all of the activities that they have to offer. So having inspiration, not only in these pictures, not only is it aesthetically pleasing, but it's just nice to think, oh man, yeah, that Spanish moss reminds me of Epworth. I should go to Epworth. Or, oh man, that, you know, marshy area looks like Jekyll Island. I should go. Especially right now in January and February, they're doing that glass globe finding. They do this all the time, excuse me, every year. And it's mostly in January and February because they're trying to promote more tourism during the kind of off winter months. But they put out these little plastic globes that have a little sticky or paper note in them. And if you find them on Jekyll, you take them back to the Jekyll Island Authority and they'll give you this souvenir. It's like a glass globe. They used to just put them out on the beach, but now they're plastic globes that you take in and then you get a cool souvenir. I really want to find one. So fingers crossed on that, but long tantrum and rant later. The next thing I added on my board were my dream, dedicate, deliver. So I remind myself every day. I also put 2021, and then I also drew a lighthouse. For me, this past year, like the year prior when I first started my job, my boss talked about how I need to be a guide for my guests. And although I have to say the same things a lot of the time every single day and it gets redundant, our guests don't know that. You know, they don't know everything that I do. They don't have all this information at their fingertips that I have in my brain. So I have to treat every guest as a new person. He also gave me this really good example of think about how every time somebody calls in, think about if that person was your best friend's mom. How would you want that person to be treated? How would you treat your best friend's mom? You would treat them with respect, with dignity, and you would treat them as if you would go the extra mile and do anything for them. So I kind of interpreted that as being a lighthouse, being a guide for future guests, for potential clients, for my coworkers, and for my friends and family. The next thing I have on my vision board of 2021 are two quotes, and of course they're Walt Disney quotes. The first one is, if you can dream it, you can do it, kind of fitting in with my dream word of the year. And then the second one is, it's fun to do the impossible. And to kind of bring together my Disney quotes in on my vision board, I put a Cinderella pin, a Cinderella sticker, as well as the Cinderella little thing she comes to the castle in. What is that called? A carriage. Sorry. I have a little Disney pin that's that, and I put it on there just to kind of tie it all together. And then the last thing I've also put on my board, the most important, I think, I put a picture. It's an original picture of my grandparents in the 60s on a really cool old car. And it's like them and their, what looks to me like one of their happiest pictures. It's just a beautiful, beautiful picture. You can see they're in love, and it just, I mean, it's so special to me. I love it. I've had it for a while, and it's in black and white, kind of ties my whole board together, but it just reminds me, like, my person's out there. You know, my partner is going to come when he comes, and I'll be ready, or at least I want to tell myself that. So the other thing that goes with my little family grandparent portrait is a pin that my grandmother had. It's a little butterfly pin just to remind me of her, although she has passed away probably about 2 years now. I just look at that picture and I look at that pin and, you know, I'm happy. I just think about her all the time. And I think that's a great, great inspirational thing for me. Inspirational photo and pin. So I really would love to see your vision boards. I'm going to be posting these again on my Instagram and on Facebook. I'd love for you to comment your, you know, three words or words that you've created for the year, as well as your vision boards. Another thing my uncle actually sent me is that he likes to do not like resolutions or not like having words or anything, but what he likes to do is more of like a 30 days of or 30 days without. And I hope he doesn't mind me using this, but it's more, you can use it anytime throughout the year. It's not like you can, you don't have to just do it in January, but you could do like a 30 days with, you know, of writing, 30 days of journaling, 30 days of scripture, of devotion, or 30 days without processed foods, 30 days without carbonated drinks, 30 days without this. And I think it would be great because, you know, you're really more setting your mind up for change for a short period of time. You know, you'll see progress and you'll see positive results from those 30 days of this or 30 days without. But I think what will set this 30 days of or 30 days without, what will make this the best and most like changing positive in a positive way for yourself would be if you create a goal in that. So if your goal is to be in more of a spiritual thought or provoking your spiritual nature, like maybe saying 30 days of devotion would be good. But if you're looking to do like say weight loss, if you're looking to lose weight, maybe 30 days of just like just drinking water or 30 days without Dr. Pepper, that would be a great way to do that. I think if you have a goal in mind, it'll be better for your 30 days of or 30 days without if you have that goal already and then create those initiatives. You know what time it is. Time to talk about Disney. So for this upcoming next segment, I think this will tie in really well with the new year, 2020 vision board, talking about our words of affirmation or, you know, words of what you want to see in your life in 2021. What a great movie that you can watch that I think will tie into this. Disney released on actually Christmas Day this new movie called Soul. And it is a Pixar movie directed by Peter Docter. He directed other movies like Inside Out, Up, and Monsters, Inc. And this movie, for me, I get like mixed feelings. I just watched it recently. I need to really watch it again. But for this is my first impressions. I thought it was a pretty good movie. I thought it was good. Spoilers ahead, just to let you know. I mean, I will be talking a little bit about the plot. So if you don't want to ruin or spoil this movie, definitely kind of skip ahead. Just keep on. But for this movie, it's essentially about this man. He is a part-time band teacher who tries to get musical gigs on the side. Like, he's a piano player, really loves the more of the nighttime playing for audiences in a jazz quartet rather than teaching school. And what ends up happening, it's really strange. In the first 10 minutes we meet him, his character is so highly developed, and you know, his family, his mom works in a tailoring shop. She owns her own shop. We learn about his mom, we learn about his dad, we learn about his lifestyle, his teaching, his career. And then in a split second, it's like he's gone, he dies. And through that, he is transformed into this little blob, this little cute little, almost like Casper the Ghost type of thing, but it's not. I don't even know how to describe it. But he's sent into this, what they call the afterlife, but they call the Great Beyond. And he pretty much tries to fight it. And through fighting it, he meets a soul. He becomes a mentor for a soul who has had many mentors. And that person, this little soul, doesn't want to go to Earth. She doesn't want to go. She doesn't want to explore Earth and learn about it at all. So essentially, they go on this path of trying to get him back to Earth. That's kind of the main overview. But what I find is interesting, it reminds me so much of Inside Out. So much of Inside Out. And it's kind of ironic because the director of Inside Out was the director of this movie. So of course, there are multiple correlating themes and ideas, because Inside Out is essentially about an 11-year-old girl who is going through a lot of emotions, because you get a visual for what those emotions are like because you're inside of her brain seeing how their emotions as people, their emotions are actually visual. Like you get disgust or fear, anger, sadness, and joy, which, fun fact, sadness is voiced by the Office Phyllis, the lady who plays Phyllis in the Office. She's voiced by her. So yeah, there's your Office fun fact for the day. Yeah, so it reminded me of Inside Out because it's about emotions and seeing kind of what's going on in someone's head, but it's more like that about the afterlife. And so it's just interesting. It just reminded me so much of that. It's kind of corny, kind of quirky, but a very serious undertone of the afterlife. And this is something Pixar has done so well. I mean, Pixar is known for this. They are known for displaying a true message, and they're known for their amazing visual. Monsters, Inc.'s come out of Pixar. I mean, Up, Inside Out, Toy Story, phenomenal. It's just, they're known for being visually stunning as well as being very straightforward with their message. And the message to me in this movie is, you know, what are you doing with your life? How are you making a difference? What's your spark? What's your purpose? And these are words that if you go and watch the movie, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I think the downside of this movie is that it's just very, it doesn't have a good flow to me. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't appeal to me in terms of a movie that I can really jive with, because in one moment you're learning about a character and the next moment he's dead. And the next moment this happens, the next moment this happens. And it's just like, I can't follow up. I can't follow this movie very well. And I think when it comes to the flow of movies, like, that can make or break you. Another thing with this movie is very monumental because it's the first Pixar movie with a African-American male lead. Jamie Foxx actually voices the character. And for something so monumental, it ended up kind of backfiring in Disney and Pixar's face. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but in this movie, you see an actual African-American man. But then when he dies, he becomes this blob. He becomes this weird Casper the Ghost colorful thing. So you don't really see him for all of his qualities. And this also happens in like Emperor's New Groove. You know, you have the main character who is of ethnic origin and he turns into a llama. Or a more recent one, like, what is it called? Spies in Disguise, where Will Smith's character, he's a spy that gets turned into a pigeon. It also happened really recently in Disney's Princess and the Frog, one of the first movies that features a Disney's first black princess. And you see her for 10 minutes of, you know, what her story is as a human. And then for the remaining movie, it's almost like the whole time she's a frog. And the reviews I've been reading about the stereotype troping is that it's hard to relate to somebody as an ethnic person when you see a role model or you see a cartoon or you see a movie and that person that you feel like you can relate to is turned into an inanimate object or a frog or an animal. How can you look up to people in cartoons? How can you look up to these movies and try to see yourself in them when they get turned into animals? It's just not a good representation of that culture, of that ethnicity, or of that race. And I do understand that. I actually do get that. I just think that it's something that is not intentional, but at least after this movie, the critics have kind of brought this issue to light and directors can see that. And another thing is a lot of one of the reviews I read on Insider was it's really hard to relate and connect with a movie that's about the afterlife, but yet again although it's a African-American man who then has to be a mentor for a soul, and it's voiced by Tina Fey, and it's like a white lady, you know, it's a middle-aged white lady, and that's how she sounds in the movie. So it's like you have to ask the question, why should he have to do that? Why is that on his moral conscience? Why should he be that guide. But I think that's a little more nitpicky into the plot of the movie, and it's just really not necessary to question it that deep, but people are doing it, so I thought I'd bring that to the table. Overall, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes actually ranked it like 96%. They graded it 96%, and then the audience score I think was 88. So it's not bad. It's a great movie. I don't think it's a kid-friendly movie, although it could be, you know, it could be a kid-friendly movie, but I think if you had them watch that, you'd need to have some serious discussions about death and the afterlife. So it's really kind of up to you, but that's my review. I think it was more of a probably B minus for me if I had to give it a score, but I thought it was good. For today's segment of Georgia on My Mind, we're going over Radium Springs, which is the fourth Georgia natural wonder in our series that we've been doing. So we've gone over Amicalola Falls, the Okefenokee Swamp, Providence Canyon, and for today we are reviewing Radium Springs. So Radium Springs is located in Albany, Georgia. It's on the west side of Georgia, on the east of the Flint River. So right on the border of Georgia, on the east of the Flint. Essentially, this entire natural wonder has a lot of history, almost like Warm Springs. It's kind of the opposite of Warm Springs. And Radium Springs actually got its name when traces of radium were actually found in the water. But before we go into that, Radium Springs was very well known to the Native Americans that inhabited the lands. We actually in Georgia had five different types of tribes, not types. We had five different tribes, and I learned them in Georgia history in eighth grade. They were the Choctaw, Chickasaw, Cherokee, Seminole, and Creek. And the Creek Indians or Native Americans were the main tribe that were around Radium Springs. They hunted the area. They were kind of infatuated with the blue crystal clear water. Come about 1540, when Hernando de Soto came through Georgia, they actually passed through this spring in 1540. And there are other accounts described of how the Indians or Native Americans would actually paddle and canoe throughout that area, throughout those waters. So by the time we settled Georgia, English settlers came to Georgia and South Carolina, Albany was controlled by the Creeks, you know, the Native American tribe. What was so interesting about Radium Springs is that the crystal clear blue water is 68 degrees year round. It's always that cold. 68 degrees, and it's so beautiful and clear. I mean, you can literally look down into the blue hole and see the fish just swimming in the bottom and all the way far below. And so many different types of animals live in that spring. This actually became a very popular swimming hole and fishing spot. The Flint River is the main source of water for this blue hole for Radium Springs. And it's really cool. I have some friends that I actually, as Miss Flint River, I was a Flint River queen in 2017 in the Miss America or Miss Georgia system. And I had the greatest time. It was my first title I had ever won. It was so special for me. I met some of the board that actually runs a nonprofit called the Flint River Keeper, and they are some of the most wonderful people. They allowed me to go kayaking with them, paddling with them, and we got to paddle the Flint River because it actually starts around the Atlanta airport and then trickles its way down all the way into Florida. And they are always fighting a lot of just different battles to keep the water clean and to make sure we preserve the species of animals, fish, of wildlife that are all along the Flint. Long story short, I've had a lot of great experience in the Flint River. I have not swam in Radium Springs because it's not really accessible anymore to swim in as like a swimming hole, but you can paddle up that way and paddle into Radium Springs. So around 1898, the chemical element radium was actually discovered in France by Marie and Pierre Curie. It's 1,000 more times radioactive than uranium, and it occurs, as in radium occurs, and is more radioactive than uranium. And it is extremely rare, and it's mostly just found in types of earth and is luminescent. It glows. It's more like a bluish color. And I'm telling you, Radium Springs is absolutely stunning. It is so blue. I mean, it looks like the Bahamas blue, but in a woodsy river area. Anyway, so bathing in these minerals in like the 19th and 20th century was thought to be a good way of improving health. And like I mentioned with Warm Springs, that's where FDR went for polio treatments. It's the same kind of thing. So people would swim in the water. With Warm Springs, it's the opposite effect. It's really hot. It's like a hot spring. And it had a lot of, it's a certain chemical that makes you buoyant. And that's why he went there. In the 1900s, it was found that radium was in the water. And the Blue Springs, the name, was changed to Radium Springs and essentially started on its first development into a resort. So after the discovery was made, this man named Baron G. Collier purchased the springs in 1925. He decided he wanted to create this resort and put about $1 million into the project. This development, he created a casino with bathhouses overlooking the spring, as well as a hotel named the Skywater. Apparently, that was the supposed name, the Creek Indian name for the spring. He created cottages, walking trails, and a golf course. And when it opened in 1927, it was a success. It was so popular, people came from all over by train to Albany just to come to the spring. But what ended up happening is the Great Depression, as we very well know it, history, it led to the closure in 1939. And then after that, it became a popular place to swim for guests and residents in Albany. But in 1994, there was this massive tropical storm that ended up flooding the entire place. And it flooded it so bad that when you actually go to Radium Springs, there is a tree. You walk down this little path and there's a tree that will tell you this is how high the floodwaters of Alberto, the storm came. And it is way on up there. I mean, it is so high up on that tree compared to the very low area of the Blue Hole. Like, it's massive. So this is why when I found out about the Georgia Natural Wonders, it was in eighth grade. Mr. Hood was teaching us the wonders, and he always would say, unfortunately, you can visit six of them, but you can't visit the seventh because it was still in disarray from the storm. It wasn't until like 2010 maybe or 2011 when finally, Radium Springs Gardens decided to open it up, save it, make it beautiful. And essentially, they have some pictures of the historic casino out. You can read the different signs, as well as the fact that they were able to save the historic casino, as in like the base of it. It's just, it's like the outside wall. And so you can kind of visualize. So that's where the casino would have been. You walk down the stairs into this beautiful area where the Blue Hole is. And it's just absolutely stunning. I mean, you can walk there. It's got a lot of different ruins of the historic resort. And you cannot swim in it, like I mentioned. But you can paddle. I know, again, my friends like to paddle in there. And they test the water a lot with the Flint River Keeper. They love doing water testing. And it's just so unique. My mom and I actually, when we decided to go after they reopened it, she took like a really cool bottle with her and she just dunked it in and she filled it up. And so now we have some Radium Springs water, and it really was. We just put our little fingers in and it was freezing cold. I can imagine on a hot summer day, it would be the most relaxing and most enjoyable thing ever to just go to a Blue Hole and just go swimming. But I understand, I think when I did an internship with the Flint River Keeper, that Albany was debating reopening it as a swimming attraction. And, you know, working for them, they really opposed it. And I completely agree with them because it's just such a natural beauty. It's just such a natural wonder that it just takes one person to overstep the boundary. It just takes that one person to ruin something that is just has been so naturally beautiful and has been impressive to every person that has been by it, or impressive to any person that's just even driven by it. Even Hernando de Soto, who just passed through and saw it, even documented it. So it just takes one person that thinks they can break the rules to ruin something that's naturally beautiful. But little fun fact about Radium Springs is that it's Georgia's largest spring that flows into the Flint River, like I've mentioned, and it pours 70,000 gallons of water per minute into the Flint River. If you want to go visit Radium Springs, again, it's in Albany, Georgia, and it's open to the public Tuesdays to Saturday, 9 to 5, and on Sundays from 1 to 5. It's really gorgeous, beautiful. You should definitely check it out. So I will be taking a break next week from writing and publishing an episode, but the following week we should have episode 8 of our season 2 out. Again, don't forget to share your words for the year, the words of 2020 you've chosen. Send me pictures of your vision boards. I'd love to see what you have put together. And then you can follow me on Instagram, again, omy.darlin, and then just Darlin J. Davis for my personal. Until then, have a great day.